This reading is from Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, a prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses all knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Father God, thank you for your word available to us. Thank you for your power at work within us and available to us. I pray that we would know something of your power within us this evening. We would know a fresh connection as we unpack your word. And we would know your Spirit working within us, both breaking chains and building us up. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've used the word power a few times already this evening, and power is one of those words that can get used in so many different ways and mean so many different things to different people. There's the power of the tech that makes these things happen, all the amazing sound guys and the guys doing the visuals and stuff at the back. I should just say on that note, by the way, that we are recording this. We don't normally, but we had a problem with the power or with the system this morning. So this sermon is going to be dropped into this morning's service. So if you're watching it online, folks, the edited version, you can see if you can spot the discontinuity in lighting. I mean, wearing the same, but there might be a slight discontinuity in terms of the lighting. But it does mean if you're at the front, you might just, your back of your heads might get seen. So I hope you combed your hair. But power is, that's one example of power. But of course, there's lots of different examples of power. And power's been in the headlines a lot recently, hasn't it? We have the wholesale gas prices going up, which is going to be a struggle for many in terms of the bills in our pockets. Very soon. It's only a couple of weeks, it seems, since we had the petrol shortages, and we were all worrying whether we're going to have enough to power our vehicles to get around. We've experienced some pretty fierce power of the wind today, haven't we? The gazebo in our garden has ripped, but looking at some of the stuff on the Irons Lodge Facebook page, I think we got off lightly in terms of some of the damage that's actually happened to houses around. Inge's mentioned COP26, all about power and how we can use power sustainably as a human race. Just yesterday, JCB signed a contract for vast amounts of green hydrogen. No, I don't know what green hydrogen is, but it sounds like it's good in terms of power. But power can also be misused and abused. And sometimes we think about that when we think of the word power, don't we? It reminds me of the old story of the man who's just been promoted, and in his company he's got an office for the first time. He's been in open plan office up to then, and he's really enjoying the sense of power and status that he thinks he's got as a result of it. And he decides to show off a bit. There's a knock on the door, and he decides to do the old, I'm going to make him wait and show how important I am. And so he picks up the phone and says, come on in, but then talks as if he's in a really important conversation, settling some deal and really going into the detail of it and showing how important it is and making this guy wait and wait and wait. Eventually, after his triumphant phone call, he puts the phone down and then says, yep, what can I do for you? He says, I'm the phone engineer. I've come to put your line in. He thought he had power. It was actually the other one who really had power. The word that we get, the word that gets used in the New Testament, most of the time when we the word that we translate as power is the word, as some of you will know, the word dunamis, from which we get the word, our word, dynamite. It is something ultimately destructive. Sometimes we think of power as being destructive. I learned something new today, actually, a few days ago. A new mnemonic. So I'm sure it's not a mnemonic. I hadn't come across it. For guitar strings, I'm looking across at the musicians here, to know the guitar strings are being E-A-D-G-B-E, which apparently is Eddie 8 Dynamite, Goodbye Eddie, which is what would happen if Eddie 8 Dynamite. We did have an Eddie in the congregation this morning. I don't think there's one here this evening, thankfully. Maybe we have to say goodbye to him. But the power talked about here in this passage is neither it's not destructive, it's not macho, it's not flashy, it's not self-serving. But there are three references to power in just these small number of verses. Verse 16 talks about power to be strengthened in our inner being. Verse 18 talks about power to understand, power to comprehend, power to grasp. And then verse 20 talks about the power to act. And I'm going to return to each of those in a minute. But first of all, we need to think about the source of power. And Paul's very clear about what the source of power is. In fact, going back into the passage we looked at last week, verse 7, we read, I'm looking at chapter 2, verse 7. No wonder it doesn't make sense. I became a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. Paul is very aware of God's power coming to him through his grace. And so the very beginning of this passage, where does the power come from? He kneels in prayer before the Father, verse 14. The power comes through God's Spirit, verse 16. With Christ dwelling in our hearts, verse 17. With the result that we're filled to the fullness of God, verse 19. Father, Spirit, Son. The power comes out of connectedness to God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, the triune God. Connectedness, not just occasional passing acquaintance, not just coming to him when we're in desperate need, but 24/7, 365. Well, that doesn't mean you've got to be in a prayer meeting all the time, but actually living our lives that are connected to him so that our prayer life, in effect, we are in a prayer meeting all the time because at any moment we can have direct access to the Father. Did you know James, the author of the later letter in the New Testament, was known to his friends as Camel Knees? It was Camel Knees because his knees were so calloused by spending so much time in prayer. And of course, there's no magic about the posture that we have, but there is something about expressing humility and dependence. We submit to God rather than trying to boss God. Prayer and worship are the engine room of the church. Just over this weekend, churches together in Kettering, we've had 36 hours of continuous prayer. A plug for our monthly prayer meeting, the Hub, tomorrow night in this building. The engine room, the life source of the church. Because if our Christian life is about following Jesus, and I hope that you think it is, then we need to hang out with him. We need to get to know him and always be getting to know him better. We can't reach that point where, well, I think I know about it now. I think I've got it sussed. I think I know enough about Jesus now. That's not a way to carry out a relationship. If, those of you who are married, if the only time you spent with your spouse was 1 hour a week, maybe an hour and a half a week, that's all the time you spent with them. And you were surrounded by 50, 100 other people in the room at that time, that wouldn't do much for developing the relationship. Yet some people seem to think that they can develop their relationship with Jesus by being in a church building, in a worship service for 1 hour a week with 100 other people. It doesn't work like that. And yes, prayer isn't always easy. Some of us find it hard. And we shouldn't be surprised, actually, because we're in a spiritual battle. There are forces, dark forces, that want to stop us developing that relationship. I was conducting an interview with Ben Lindsay for a thing that was going online for New Wine a couple of weeks ago. Some of you might have read his book, We Need to Talk About Race, which is a great unpacking of the whole issue of racial injustice in this nation, indeed around the world. But Ben is aware of, he's also campaigning against teenage knife crime and what an epidemic that is in certain sectors of our society. And he was kind of feeling helpless. He says, like, it feels like you're fighting power. He said, how do you fight power? You need power. You need God's power. You need his power. You need the Holy Spirit's power to fight. And he called his organization that he set up to do this, Power the Fight. Powerthefight.org.uk, I think it is. When we're fighting power, we need God's power within us to strengthen us. So, unsurprisingly, the source of power comes from God, our Father, through his Spirit, made possible to us by his Son. But what about these three types of power that get mentioned? The first one is, verse 16, power to be strengthened in our inner being. I think that is a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. You see, quite a lot of people like trying to be strengthened in their outer being, in terms of building up the muscles. So I'm not looking at anyone in particular at this moment. And going to the gym, etc. And that's great. That's really good. Maybe at this moment you're thinking, yeah, I have got that gym membership, haven't I? Maybe I should use it. But actually we're talking here about strengthening in our inner being, which isn't visible. I talked about the wind earlier. You know, the wind isn't actually visible. Its effect is very visible. But the wind itself isn't. And actually, even those who are strengthening themselves in their outer being, what's the most important part of yourself to strengthen? It's the core. At the hearts of who we are. And likewise, getting the core sorted spiritually, being strengthened in our inner being, is what God's power is available to do. As I said, it's not visible. No one sees it, but it's the power to do things like resist that temptation that you're always prone to fall to. The power to make the right choice when it's the difficult choice. The power to, as Paul puts it, to be content in any and every situation. The power not to be tossed about by different circumstances. The power to know a peace that passes understanding. In short, the power to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The power to be the people we were designed to be. That makes a difference if we know that power. To be strengthened in our inner being. And as we pray later on in this service, it's a great prayer to pray. Lord, strengthen me in my inner being. The second power that Paul talks about here is in verse 18. The power to comprehend, the power to understand. I could do with a volunteer at this moment. Is there someone foolish enough, willing enough just to come and help me a second? Oh, thank you, Graham. Not only on Gideon's side, in Gideon 1, but you're willing to help. I have a simple task for you. See that? I'd like you to put it in here, please. And I'll carry on talking, okay? I've often said, if we truly... Oh, he's too good at it. Oh, look at that. Isn't he a star? He is Gideon, absolutely. How many of you thought he wouldn't get that in? Because it is so big. It looks far too big to go in there, doesn't it? And believe you me, that's the screen that I've used on a few occasions when I've, as backdrop when I've recorded sermons in the study. There's times when it's taken me a lot longer than that. Thank you very much. Give him a round of applause. See, Graham's got the power. The power to grasp the full extent. Because understanding God's love actually seems too big. That screen seemed far too big to go in that bag. And actually it needed a very special technique, which Graham has, to actually get it in there. But if we truly understood something of the extent of God's love, it would transform us. I think nothing would be too much or too hard in return if we kind of really grasped what he'd done for us. I think we only get a sliver of it, I think, really. Paul wants us to try and get our head around it. You know, this: how wide, how long, how high, how deep. It's big. God's extravagant love lavished upon us for us to revel in. God's love is too big for our understanding. And I think there's a danger that maybe we shrink God's love to our understanding, because we can't stretch our understanding to fit God's love. And even Paul he's got a reputation as being quite a good thinker, a reasoner, and he says in verse 19, it's beyond knowing. It's a mystery. And it wouldn't be great just to grasp a little bit more of who God is. Because when we have something of understanding, something of the comprehension, it unlocks another important aspect of God's power, and that is love. Some of you know the story of Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8. You see, he sees Peter and John doing some really cool stuff in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants to buy a bit of that. He says, "What? How much, you know, let me give you some money so I can have some of that power." He doesn't realize that it comes through love. That it comes through compassion. We see in the Gospels, when Jesus performs so many of his miracles, we see he's moved to compassion. And the word that gets used there, it talks about real, almost like it's tearing your gut. You feel it in your gut. At a visceral level. Jesus doesn't just bring healing and deliverance for people because he thinks, well, that's my job. I've got the power. It comes out of being moved deep within. See, when we have the power, just a little bit more power to comprehend God's love, then love will well up within. Love is a powerful force if God is behind it. Because that gives us the third thing, and this comes in verse 20, the power to act for him. Because to be moved with compassion but unable to do anything is really painful, isn't it? We've all been in that situation. When we feel, I must be able to do something, and we feel powerless. But verse 20 is wonderful. It's a verse we love to bring out. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. Whoa! Isn't that great? That's the first part of the verse. We don't often read the second part of the verse. Do you know what the second part of the verse says? It says, according to his power at work in us. God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ever think or imagine. According to his power at work in us. I've quoted John 14:12 so many times to you. Jesus says, it's good that I go away because the Holy Spirit is coming. You're going to do the works that I've done. You're going to do even greater works than I've done. Because his power is at work in us. The apostles carried on Jesus' ministry because they had the power of the Holy Spirit in them. That's why it was so important for them to wait for the power to fall. That's why it's important for us to wait, to spend time just waiting on God. So that, as it says in verse 19, we can be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Because yes, the Holy Spirit that was available to those early apostles is available to us today. And God's way of working is so often he wants to work with us. He wants us to act as his agents rather than him doing it himself. So this power, I've talked about being the power earlier to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. This is the power to exhibit the gifts of the Spirit. Just to act for him. There's so many things we can do to act for him. Some of them are amazing, and you know, I pray that even tonight we'll see God do extraordinary things. Some of them are very simple things. One little thing you could do that you could have the power to act for him this evening is if you're on Facebook, when you go home, look at the go to the Christ the King Kettering page and see the notice about Alpha and hit share. It could go to hundreds. There's, I don't know, 50, 60 of us here. We've all got quite a lot of friends, and a lot of them are different friends. Just how many people in Kettering would receive that? Yeah, every time we put a post, we get about 6 people sharing it. That's a pretty simple thing. Don't need a lot of power to do that. You need the power of the internet. But that's just one tiny little example. Because my wife told me to say it when I came out, because she was just doing the post for Facebook as I left. But the main thing is, let's think of ourselves not as people who come to church. Let's not even just think of ourselves as Christian or a follower of Jesus. They're all great things. Think of ourselves as apprentices of Jesus. Looking to him. Learning to live like him. Because we have the power to act for him. Remembering that the power to act for him, that's number 3 in Paul's list, comes out of first that power to be strengthened in our inner being. Secondly, the power to understand more of who he is. We don't just get to do whizzy stuff. We need to be transformed and go on being transformed and go on being transformed. Because I don't know about you, I've got a long way to go yet. So let's get on our knees, whether that's literally or metaphorically, to know the source of this power that Paul talks about. And let's know that power to be strengthened within, whatever it is you face today. And let's ask for power to understand a little bit more of God's love for us. And let's ask for power to act for him. Be it simply to speak to someone about who Jesus is. Or be it to dare to pray for someone. To go out on a limb for Jesus. Surely that's worth living for. That's worth going after. As long as we remember all that we do, the glory goes not to ourselves, but the glory goes to him. Amen? Amen.